السلام عليكم مجددا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام على آل ياسين. I started the topic of rizq, and in 2-3 minutes I make a briefing of what I said so that those who have not been here, they can catch up with the rest of my talk. And inshallah, I'll finish by on time so that you do not get too much hungry. What I said was beginning with what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said to Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wa salam in Nahj al-Balagha is written, وَعْلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ أَنَّ الرِّزْغَ الرِّزْغَانِ رِزْغٌ تَطْلُبُهُ وَرِزْغٌ يَطْلُبُكَ فَإِنَّ أَتَدْ لَمْ تَعْدِهِ أَتَاكَ مَا أَقْبَحَ الْخُزُوعَ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ وَالْجَفَاءَ عِنْدَ الْغِنَى إِنَّ لَكَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ مَا أَسْلَحْدِ بِهِ مَسْوَاكَ. Oh my son, there are two types of rizq. One rizq is what you are after it, and the other rizq is the rizq that will chase you, and that will follow you, and before he finds you, it finds you, and reaches itself to you, it would not leave you. It's even more sticky than death. How death will follow us, do not let us get away with it, he will do the same thing. Except the fact that we have to realize, we are talking about everyday, rizq of everyday for that day. So this notion of bank accounts being our rizq is a different thing. Your rizq is what you will have tonight here for dinner, and that you have not worked for it, you have not done anything for it, and Allah has guaranteed the rizq. And I also read something from Quran which says, مَا مِن دَبَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْغُهَا. There is no moving, living thing on the earth unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed its rizq. Sorry, my mouth is too dry tonight. And then I spoke about what Luqman al-Hakim has said to his son, that, oh my son, how come Allah, who has given in three important stages of the life the rizq to you, how would he not give it to you at the fourth level of your life? In the womb of the mother, when you were born in the breast of the mother, and when you were a child from the working of the father and mother, and now that in this, it is the time that you are grown up and you have to start your ibadat and worshipping and gaining knowledge and ma'rifat of Allah, how would he give you on your own? And also this very simple reasoning that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, has created us for this material life, he has done something useless. He has created us for an eternal life, but who has left the issue of sustenance and rest to ourselves, that we work all day long for it, again he has done something useless, because it's contradicting the purpose, that is we have time to do the worship of Allah and to learn the knowledge of Allah and the creatures of Allah. And the problem is, we too much leave ourselves in the hand of rizq. And when you look at today, whether the life that we have today has any relationship with the reality of rizq. The reality of rizq, if it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have guaranteed that for us, that how come we have entangled all our days and nights, we have sold our future even to this life, we have gone to the banks and we have borrowed so much that for the next 25 years we have still work and to give for those things. So this is not the notion of rizq. And I'm sure every one of us, I mean most of us, the grown-ups, or I would say over 25, at least, probably even over 20, we have had these experiences as that we have seen, if not in ourselves, we have seen in people around us, that how a person looking to us like not too much smart, not too much literate, and not too much educated, we have seen him being rich. And then at the same time, we have seen people with a lot of literacy and high education and this and that, they have had a normal life. And so these are, and or how we have worked hard, and we have got into a business type or whatever nature is, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and we have ended up sometimes not gaining anything, sometimes even losing some money that we have had from the past. If you look at these, it is basically is very, very obvious that it's a kind of tail chasing that we are caught up with. All this notion of this today's life has been, is the sawghat, we say in Farsi, sawghat is the gift, is the souvenir of the Western culture. This all started, this new modern way of life started in 1920, 1930, when that psychologist Sigmund Freud, that you must have heard his name, who came up with this, his researches into the soul of the human being, and with his finding, later on, Richard Bernays, his nephew, he got those ideas, and he got a huge research fund from the capitalist in the United States, and he started to do research into new, what is known as today as new marketing, and PR, and those type of, all of these things that they are not teaching in all universities, and in academic level as well as in practical level. Basically, the purpose of this is they have changed the notion of need to the notion of joy and enjoyment. When it comes to eating, look today, is it just about eating? When we go out, we see so much diversities in the type of the food, with the preparations of the food, with the way they have made it, so many type of processing and putting into this type of cream, with that type of cream. You just look around and see it is not the notion of need anymore. When it comes to house, when it comes to clothing, when it comes to anything, this is the role of marketing, to create a false need, to create a fake need that we feel we need this. Today, there are a lot of things that even passed from the stage that although in its original level, they are not really considered as a need, but they have made their lives as such for us that they have become a real need today. We cannot live without it. This Swedish scientist, I don't know his name, I read something from him, was very interesting. He was saying that we used to live in the nature. He's not talking about the cave ages. He's talking about like 250 years back, when people were most in agriculture and they were living with animals and those type of lifestyle. We were living in those lifestyle. They brought us into this modern life. They made machine and car. With the having of so much...
Can you repeat the Swedish?
Okay. The Swedish scientist, I read from a Swedish scientist, he was saying, when we used to live in the farms, like 100 years ago, 150 years ago, we used to be in the nature. So we used to feel the cold and the warmth. We used to feel the fright. We used to be scared of animals. So this was so much closer to us. We were living with this somehow. Today, they have brought us into the city. They have made machines. They have made cars. The life has become in such a way that because of so much machine and car, I've got so much spare time. Then they have made another machine called the TV. So we are sitting beside TV and spending most of the time in front of TV. And then the only way we see the nature is through this TV. And only that, even then, only the beautiful pictures of the nature. They do not show you the true nature. So basically, he was saying they have taken us out of the nature and brought us, of course, because it was not a book, it was just a small article. I don't know whether he was opposing as a whole to the whole modern life, or he was just criticizing some aspect of it. But then he was saying, continuing, that then we came to the cities, they took the graveyards outside the city. So you do not even see the dead people anymore. So they took this issue away. They took away from us those fears, those hardships of the life that does exist, which that is a part of linking us to the nature. And they took away the graveyards. And gradually then we thought, okay, what to do? Then they started to see, now we have the problem of these old people living with us, our parents when they get 70, 80, 85, then created the rest homes. So they took them and put them in the rest home so that we do not see them. He continues, gradually the children took over the life. So if you see today, the children are ruling our life. We are working all along for what they want. To communicate with them, they brought our mind in the level of children. Again, I'm not making on any judgment and comment. I'm just quoting what he says. So we came in the level of little children, 5, 10, 12 years old. So when we have lost the sense of the seriousness of the purpose of life. Okay, put what he said aside, whether it's 100% right or wrong. But see, what enemy says, when I say enemy, I'm talking about the enemy of humanity. I'm not only talking about the enemy of Muslims or enemy of Jews or enemy of Christians. The enemies of human beings, those who have arranged the whole lifestyle in such a way that we are living this life today, we are not left with any time, a proper decent time, so that we can do our other things that we are made for. It is not only so much to do with what you physically do, whether you physically work 4, 5, 6, or 8 hours. Even if some of us work 6 or 8 hours, we are so much involved and engaged into up to here, the whole day along, until the time we go to bed, we are all the time thinking of these problems we have. This is the way they have made their life. So, basically they have changed the notion of need to the notion of enjoyment. And if one want to do, if you make a calculation, I'm talking about probably this exists much less in us, because we have a different culture, although we are sort of melted into this lifestyle. But when you look at the Westerners themselves, if you take the number of hours they work, only those physical hours, that if you take how long their mind is busy, it's 16 hours a day. But you just take that, about 8 to 10 hours a day. And a husband and wife, that's 20 hours. You will be amazed to realize that these are examples, but they are not very far, that about 3 hours of their work, or 4 or 5 hours of what the time they spend in the work, is for the mortgage, extra mortgage to their real need. I mean, if we need a house that is worth $300,000, because we want to have a fashionable house in a better area, in a bigger way, and in a different way, then they have to borrow $700,000. I'm talking about that extra $300,000 to $400,000. And you take the interest rate and the principal, and then you will see they work 4 or 5 hours of their, 3 to 4 hours of their daytime in that. Then you take that, this notion of, especially on the ladies' side, the fashion and the makeup and the clothing and all those things, you will see that they are working about two hours of that, of their life, for just to provide that. So basically, the time that they spend in their work for their real needs is only very, very, very little time. It's only probably 1 to 2 hours. The rest of it, they are working for the big capitalists. They are working, they are full, they are making things so that all these big industries can work. Fashion industry, You just name it. You ponder upon it yourself. You will see how big it is and how much of their time is spent for those big guys, for those big shots. And all this started in, as I said, 1920, 1930 in America. It's very interesting. Somebody was telling that I can make, this is what has happened to us, I can make a cat halal and eat the flesh of the cat. How can you do that? It's impossible. Yes, I put a cat in a bag and I start to walk 2-3 days, walk into the desert. Then it will come a time that I'm so tired and hungry and I cannot come back. Then it becomes halal because that's the only thing with me and I can eat it. That's what has happened to our life today. We have gone so much, we have become so much involved that we are eating the cat flesh in a halal way. That means we have gone into borrowing, we have believed that we have, not only we need a house for ourselves, we need a house for all our children. And not I need one house for myself, I need 3 houses for my 2 daughters and one my son. Not only that I need the house, I need to provide them the best food, best clothes, best fashion, or all of these things. And because of all these commitments I have made, I have no way. I have to work 12 hours, 14 hours, so that I can carry on with this life. That is how the cat flesh has become halal for me. That means all these things that, without this, when I was back in my home country, I wouldn't borrow from a bank, I wouldn't pay interest, I wouldn't pay interest on car, I wouldn't pay interest on house, I wouldn't pay all this. But here it has become halal. When I say halal, I mean because we have become so much involved, then we have reflected all these problems back to Maraji. Maraji had to come up with a solution, so they had made it allowed. But the biggest harm it has, apart from whatever it does religiously, in those ahkam-wise, it has left no soul for us. It has left no mind for us that we can look into serious issues of the life. It has left us no serious time that we are come to understand why are we here? What is our mabda? What is the source? Where have we come from? Where are we doing here? What are we doing here? And where are we going to? And we have become the best of us, which is us, alhamdulillah. We have become so much mechanically into way of worshipping. And any of these worship that we do, if you are asked, if our children ask us, why do we do that and why do we do this, we do not have any answer to them, to tell them. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So, we have to believe in what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said. And now that I just touched upon this issue very lightly, I continue and discuss it, that we have, how much time I have? 15 minutes? I'll be finished soon before that. That we have to believe in what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. We have to create a life so that we can attend to other aspects of the life. Other aspects of the life, the most important part of the life that we have ignored is the part that we have come for it. We have been born for it, we have been brought to this life for. That is ma'rifatullah. That is ma'rifat anbiya'ullah. That is ma'rifat a'imma. That is understanding of all these creatures of Allah. And these are worship. Worship makes a real meaning when we understand these things. When we understand heaven and hell in true way. When we understand qabr, grave. What is the notion of grave we have? We have grave, I'm not talking about the physical grave. What is the notion that we have about this pressure of the grave? Ulama, they say, it is a scandalous way of understanding the qabr, the way we understand that we under the earth are facing the angels. And Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah, in his book of Maut, he says, Go and open the earth and see how many angels do you see under the earth. That is not what it is. We have to put time to go and read and understand, and we have left no time for this. We have come, we are only doing this very physical and mechanical things. There is a hadith, which is Hadith-e-Qudsi, which Hadith-e-Qudsi is what is quoted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which he says, it says, زَمِنْتُ لِأَهْلِ الْإِلْمِ أَرْزَاقَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only guaranteed for everyone his rizq, it has even made it easier for the people of Ahlul Ilm, those people who are after learning. So if I'm not, do not take me wrong, I'm not here propagating that we should not work. The only thing is I will read at the end a hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam to see where the balance is between how much we work and how much we do not work. It is this hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, it is not saying that we should not work and we should only sit at home. This is a wrong notion, that we don't do anything and the rest comes. Rest is guaranteed when we work. But when we work, if we work extra hard, we don't achieve anything. That's the whole thing about what Imam Ali is saying to Imam Hassan. No matter how much harder you work, it doesn't mean that you gain more money. It doesn't mean you gain more risk. That risk which is not yours, even if you hold it today, it will go off tomorrow. You may lose it in a sickness, you may lose it in an accident, you may lose it in a thief to take it away. So that is, we have to work, but we have to work in such a way that we have time, enough time to attend to the other aspects of the life. A big problem that in this way of life that we have, it's not only us. It is, I'm quoting this from Ustad Tahir Zadeh, I've read a book from him in Iran in Farsi. He says, we are doing a big crime to our children. Because the way we are facing our children in this life, because killing is not only killing physically. Probably the physical killing would be the easiest harm, the lowest harm that one can do. Because if you keep a person in the physical life and live, but you take away from him all those things that he needs to become a good human being, you have killed his soul. That's what he's saying. He says, with these advices and these things we have taught to our children, salawat wa Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi. We have started to talk to them and saying, oh, listen, when it comes to the time they want to choose a university degree, what do they want to do? The first thing we start with them is to argue and see what is the demand. Is it in IT? Is it in medicine? Is it in chemistry or what? And then we basically, with all the advices we tell them, we are telling them that work, you have to work all along, all your life for your risk. We do not give them the slightest notion of what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. We do not tell them, Baba, if you want to go to university, see what you like, and then no matter what you choose, whether you become an IT specialist, or you become a doctor, or you become a PhD in chemistry, your rest is guaranteed for you. Go, although you can take this notion of studying what is needed, because the notion of what is needed for the society is one thing, but what is needed to study that I make more money is a different thing. So Ustad Tahir Zadeh says, we basically kill the soul of our children by giving them such wrong notion and advice that go study what is going to make you more money. So basically we have told them, what have we told them? We have told them, it is you who you are making your risk. We have told them, you have become responsible to make your risk. You are responsible to work, remember. But your risk is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Working is one thing, through the work, because it is the sunnah of Allah. Allah gives through the asbab. So working is wasile, is an instrument, is the tool so that Allah gives us the risk. But you have to work moderately, you have to work decently, we have to work properly, and we have to work with the full certainty that Allah has undertaken to bring me, to give me my rizq. So we should let our children know this. We should read what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said to Imam Hassan. We should read that for our children. So this is what he says, he refers to as crime of the children, killing our children. And the other thing the last thing I end up my talk with is a hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. I only read, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in English I only say it, he says, in talab of rizq, in seeking your rizq, do not do so much endeavor and work so that all your work, all your life become working for your rizq. This is one side of it. And not so much leave it to the taqdeer that you become handcuffed. That means sitting at home and saying, I don't work and my rizq will be falling down. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, working for rizq is the sunnat of anbiya. That means rizq, working is a sunnat that Allah has made, that the rizq is being given through that. And he says rizq is already allotted to you. Your rizq is allocated to you. It is even, you do not know, but Allah knows. You have probably heard this when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he was passing through the Nile River, the Bani Israel, when he opened the river and when they went in, then Hazrat Musa was under the bottom of the sea of the river. He was looking very carefully in a small worm which was going through some plant or something to eat it or to use it. And then somebody there asked him about, what are you looking at? He's saying, I'm looking at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even has given the rizq of this worm at this time that I was supposed to open the sea for Bani Israel to pass. So when so minutely, acutely, precisely, timely, orderly, the rizq is prepared for us, why we so much do, we have become so much greedy that we have put everything into making that rizq? And the last thing that I forgot to tell you, that is for every rizq of halal, there is a rizq of haram equivalent. That means our rizq is there. Our rizq of halal is there. If it is not meant for us, we do not get it. But we can make our rizq of halal rizq, we can make it haram. You also may have heard this story that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam goes to bazaar, into market, and he asks somebody there to look after his horse or his camel when he goes there to do some shopping. When he comes back, he sees that man has stolen the horse and has gone away. He goes and after him, and he has taken the saddle of the horse. And he goes and finds the saddle. He has sold it for 2 dirham. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I intended to give him 2 dirhams. He had 2 dirham in halal way, but he made it haram. So for every rizq of halal, there is a rizq of haram, which is only our action which makes it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in putting this belief in our heart, what Allah says in Quran, and what Ma'asumin and Imam Ali alayhi salam say in their ahadith, that rizq is guaranteed for us, and we believe it truly and sincerely with the bottom of our heart. And the sign of that is, if you want to know whether you have believed it properly or not, look at your day. When you end up your work, when you go home and you want to go to family and the rest of the things, see how much you are still with your work or not. How much is your heart engaged in those activities that you have been doing in the daytime. And see when you are sleeping, And especially see when we are doing salat, what comes first into our salat? That is the bottom of our heart. So if I open, I usually when I do my salat, I start to sell my fish and put my prices on it and do open my letters of credit and things like that. So that is me. Basically, what comes to us, because you know, salat is called mizan. It's mizan, it's a scale that we can measure ourselves. So if we are doing our salat and our work comes there, then you should know that we have not yet believed by the bottom of the heart in the notion of the rizq. Bar Muhammad, Al Muhammad, salawat. Allah.